When I say archaeologist, I'm sure Harrison Ford's Indiana Jones comes to mind, searching for rare artifacts, dodging Nazis, wielding a mean bullwhip, and of course, afraid of snakes.
Snakes. Why did it have to be snakes?
Asps. Very dangerous. You go first.
Real archaeologists have a complicated relationship with Indy, as we read in Marilyn Johnson's new book. In the past, she's illuminated the lives of librarians and obituary writers. Her new deep look at archaeologists is called Lives in Ruins, Archaeologists and the Seductive Lure of Human Rubble. It's the story of archies, or the earth whisperers, as one calls them, devoted to carefully sifting through the remains of other lives, whether at an ancient dig in Greece or at Ground Zero in New York, to tell the stories the people left behind. Marilyn Johnson joins us from the NPR studios in New York. Welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Oh, great to read this. It's just thrilling, actually, even when some of the archaeologists' work is a little bit boring. And staying with Indiana Jones, you say deep down most archaeologists want to be him. If he were working today, he'd be considered a looter. But, of course, if he were working today, he'd be doing what they do. List some of those things. Tweezing bits of bone into plastic baggies. What would he be doing?
Yes, brushing the dirt off, you know, ancient bones, bagging and collecting, washing pieces of pottery, sorting and identifying it, writing long reports with many, many details.
So there's parts of it that are just so tedious, but then they might also flick off a tarantula that's crawling on them.
Exactly. But you know what I found when I was doing it was anything but boring.
Yeah.
Because you are digging into unknown territory, because you're uncovering the earth, because there's this tremendous suspense about what you might find.
Yeah. So what you did was spend weeks on websites like shovelbums.org and archaeological.org. Who knew? To pay to get into a field school, which a lot of people are doing, some of them are grad students, but apprenticing yourself to an excavation so that you can get trained alongside, you know, grad students or just plain people who want to do this.
Well, they need hands to do the tremendous amount of work that is there to be done at archaeology sites. But they need people who are serious about it, who are not grabbing and running.
Well, it's sort of how you have to find your way in, because as you wrote elsewhere, you don't walk up to an archaeologist and say, hey, can I come to your dig? It doesn't work that way.
No, they're very some people would call them paranoid, but they're very secretive, and they have to be, because looting is such a huge problem.
Yeah.
And any kind of disturbance really ruins the intellectual information that they're getting out of a particular dig.
So tick off some of the sites that you went to.
I went to a dig in Cyprus on a tiny little island off of Cyprus in the Mediterranean. I went to a dig in the Caribbean on the island of St. Eustatius, which not very many people have heard of, but it was at one time the center of the universe. Mm. I went to multiple digs up near where I live in New York State, and one of them in particular in Fishkill, New York, called the Fishkill Supply Depot.
This was the Continental Army's largest supply center during the Revolutionary War, and you met a man, Bill Sandy. He excavated what you call the most important archaeological site in the U.S. Tell us more.
It is on a lot that is for sale for development. And Bill Sandy was hired with his cultural resource management firm to assess the land and see if it would disturb any archaeology.
And in fact, in the many layers of things that archaeologists do, some are doing academic digs around the world. Some are with companies, as you say, whose job it is to go test out sites before somebody can build on them. They're often not really appreciated by the people who hire them, because they might say, no, you can't build here.
Yes, it's a tricky profession. And the CRM, Cultural Resource Management archaeologists for hire, they go out ahead of the bulldozers, ahead of the pipelines, and they're trying to assess and see, are we going to run into something that we're going to regret later? Because once you dig it up, it's gone. Mm-hmm. In this particular case, what Bill Sandy found was a bunch of adult graves that were 260-something years old, and were from the Revolutionary War. And it was a place that had been rumored about, and people, historians, knew that there had to be a graveyard at the Fishkill Supply Depot. There were several hospitals, and there were wounded that were carried there from nearby battles. Many of them died of disease, and here they are. There are hundreds of bodies on this 10-acre lot between a Mexican cafe and a super gas station.
Yeah. There it is. And Bill Sandy, the archaeologist who found it, occasionally leads parades of people holding flags to honor it while people decide what to do with it because the owners want to sell it. And the group that's the conservation group is trying to raise money, although, boy, it doesn't look good.
They're raising it a nickel at a time for a price tag of $5 million.
So that's precious work. And then the work that you do in other countries, and you say most archaeologists are interested in outside of the Americas because we're so relatively new. When you put your hands on something and you know that it's ancient, what do you learn about archaeologists when you did this field work yourself?
What impressed me so much is the spirit of respect that they bring to it. I think archaeology had some really messy roots with people who were putting boots on and stomping through other people's countries and pulling out some of the treasures and bringing them back to the United States. That's changing. It's changing in a lot of places. And the archaeologists that I work with are full of respect. They love the cultures that they are coming to learn about. Many of them are working actively to try to help make things safe and accessible to people in their own country. Yeah. So if there's armed conflict, they want these sites that represent the history of the people who live there to survive.
Well, there's Lori Rush. She works with the U.S. military. She's actually developed Iraq and Afghanistan heritage playing cards so that troops can have these archaeological images that they can recognize, try to save. You have Kathy Abbas. She, for years, cleaned houses to stay afloat, and now she's trying to get money from the wealthy in Newport to save the Revolutionary warships that are sunken and wrecked off Newport, Rhode Island. You have characters like, I mean, this guy comes pretty close to Harrison Ford. John Shea at the University of New York at Stony Brook. His students make obsidian knives. They throw spears. They make fire without matches. These characters do exist.
That's called experimental archaeology, by the way. And oh my gosh, that is more fun than anything I can think of.
Well, as one grad student told you, when the apocalypse comes, you want to know an archaeologist. We know how to make fire, catch food, create hill forts. But of course, we'll end up living in cardboard boxes. They don't make a lot of money normally.
No, I would not say. Nobody was driving really nice vehicles.
And no health insurance in some cases, brutal working conditions. So again, why should we care about the Marilyn Johnson?
What archaeologists do to contribute to our collective knowledge about where we as humans came from is incalculable. And they make a lot of personal sacrifices to gather this information, and what they find benefits all of us.
That's Marilyn Johnson. Her book about archaeology and archaeologists, and she worked alongside them in some cases to learn more about them, is called Lives in Ruins. It's a terrific read. Marilyn, thank you.
Thank you.